Take your bulletins, if you will, or your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read four verses from Matthew 5 from the Sermon on the Mount to begin our service this morning. The verses 14 and 16 are in the bold print in your bulletins. So if you'd like to respond with the congregation in reading those back, we'll work together on this thing. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let the light shine so they can glorify Him. Good challenge to begin. I'm going to ask Brother Don Orser if he'll come to the pulpit, open us up in prayer this morning. Appreciate his ministry with our missions committee. And, of course, he's the one responsible for getting that really high-tech missions display back there. If you don't go by and play with that thing or send an email or do something, just go by there and just touch the screen and see what happens. That's what it's built. That's okay to do, right? It's okay to do, right? And when we first got it, we said, well, what if kids come up and start pressing buttons? And Pastor said exactly what we want them to do. We want them to enjoy it and to feel like, wow, we can be a part of this as well. And even my kids, like Adeline, I think she sent along an email to Brother Conrad as one of our missionaries. And I think I don't think it made any sense, but that's okay because she was reaching out. It was okay. Go by and try that out. And if nothing else, you'll understand the work that goes in to keeping us connected to our missionaries. I appreciate the ministry that Brother Don serves in that. If you will, open us in prayer, sir.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in your house again this morning, to offer our worship to you, Lord, to meet with those of like faith, Lord, and to open your word and to hear what it is you have for us today. We just pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that's said and done, Lord. We pray you'd fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit and that we'd be attentive to what you have for us. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Page number 45 in your hymn book. Let's stand and sing a song like we might sing in heaven one day. Crown Him with many crowns. Page 45.
Crown Him with many
Oh,
H-Y-M-N, a hymn. But an easy way to tell what a hymn is when it's all about him. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Great singing. Great singing. It's all about Jesus. All about him. Lifting him up. And now we're going to hear another song that expresses what our heart ought to be about him. Lord, help me to be nearer. Yes, still nearer to you. God bless you, Rogers family.
That was lovely. Thank y'all so much for that. A lot of announcements and things to get to, so just hang on for just a minute. Miss Judy, I'll try to stay slow as I can so you can sign that, but we're going to have to get through this quick. They love whenever I get going so fast and they have to, I don't know, I don't have their fingers don't fall off, but they do a great job down there and we appreciate it, but they give me a hard time. But hang on to your hats for just a moment while we get through some things. The first thing is that we're thrilled to have our guests with us. We want to make sure that every one of you that's here today for the first time or maybe it's just been a long time since you've been to the home place. We're thrilled to have you back, thrilled to have you with us for the first time. And if you are here with us for the first time, we'd like for you to do something for us. If you did not get one of our bulletins, the guys maybe missed you as you came in the door, we want to get one of these in your hands. If you did not get one of these church bulletins, just raise your hand and keep it up until the guys get to you. They'll bring one to you. If you're not a guest, you can hold your hand up and get one of the bulletins as well. You'll need them for announcements. So if you don't have one, let the guys bring one to you. Hold it up until they get there. And when you open it up, on the right side, you'll see a flap that's got a place It says, welcome visitors. Go ahead and tear that off. It's perforated. You can tear that off and fill it out. And when the offering plate comes by in a minute, that's what we would like for you to contribute this morning, is just to take that visitor's card and just drop it in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit. Now, what we'd like for you to do, if you would, we'd like to invite you to actually bring that card. Keep it with you and bring it right after the service to a guest reception that we'll hold as soon as the service is over, right out those back double doors and to the right. We'll have a room set up with some refreshments. We have some gifts we'd like to give to you as a thank you and a reminder of your visit here. And we'd like a chance to get to know you. And if you have any questions for us, if we can answer them, we'd be delighted to try to do that. So first of all, just want to make sure our guests are welcome this morning. And if you have someone sitting close by that you don't recognize, or you're sure as the world they're a guest, make sure you go by, shake their hand, and tell them for all of us how much we appreciate them being here today. Now, there are a lot of announcements coming up. Want to make sure everybody knows about these. Mother's Day, of course, next week, be in your place for Mom's Day. There'll be a lot of special things next Sunday morning that you'll enjoy. Men will be singing in the choir. Guys, that's right, you'll be in the choir. And if you're thinking, no, I'm not, yeah, you will. Wait till Mom says you're going up there. You're going up there. That's a special thing. A week from Friday is the Super Seniors Luncheon. Brother Jim Lyle wanted me to make sure I told you about this because they got a special concert right after it next Friday. The Puffers. Don't know who that is. Haven't heard of them. But he says they're really good, and he wants you to hear them. And I know they'd like to be a blessing to you. That's a week from Friday. Now, this is May. We're getting into May. It's Graduates Month. And some of you have already turned in your graduates' information for Graduates Day, which is on May the 22nd. Make sure that if you have a young person graduating high school or college or maybe a graduate degree, we want to recognize you on that day. Make sure you send that to me or hand that to me personally, if you will. My email is on the bulletin, so you can send that to my just make sure if you'd like a photo, we'd like to put a photo up, include the photo in the email, okay, and then where they're graduating, if there's any special honors, so on and so forth. We want to make that a big deal like we always do, and we've got several this year, so there's a lot to keep up with. Make sure you get those to me as soon as you can. It's not a rush right now, but before long, it'll be a rush if you delay. So go ahead and send that this week if you can. We'll get all of that lined up for Graduates Day on May the 22nd. Want to mention this, I am going to be hosting a trip to Israel. I just hosted one in March. I'm going to be hosting a trip to Israel next February. I've had these sheets available for a little while, but I haven't mentioned them to you. One of the two reasons is this, is because Pastor is taking a trip in November, and some of you are planning on going with him, and you don't need to re-sign up for this. If you want to go twice, you're welcome to, but just understand that you're signing up to go again. But he's taking a 10-day trip in November. He's still got those brochures available. Do you still have room for that trip? Three seats left on his trip, okay? So if you'll act now, you can do a 10-day trip in the latter part of November. See him about that. But if you'd like to go next February, one advantage right now, it's still early for the next 3 weeks. The price is $100 less on that. But you can pick up one of these. I'm going to put them down front. Just understand there's a November trip and there's a February trip, okay? So don't get them confused if you're planning on going on one or the other. Just be sure you look at the top and see who's leading it. You see the date. You can keep all of that straightened out. Love to have you go along. This is really the first time I've promoted one. It's always been the trips that he's promoted, so don't want to confuse you. Some of you know about it. We'd love to have you go along. Just let me know when you can. We'll get those to you. The brochures will be down here. I can get one to you personally. The last thing is this. Search the Scriptures. New studies are available. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't miss John 1. Get into Search the Scriptures this month. Tonight, we'll be going back over Deuteronomy 5 and 6. As soon as the service is over, our Search the Scriptures discussion time. Of course, we'll have some food available there. If you've been studying through Deuteronomy 5 and 6, come and join us right after the evening service tonight. Thank you.
Page number 11. We've got to stand and sing this song. Come thou fount of every blessing. Let's stand together, please. You're singing so well. Keep it up now. On the first thing is, come thou fount of every blessing. To my heart, to me, my praise. Streams of mercy, never ceasing. All our songs of loudest praise. Teach me from heaven inside. Sung by flaming tongues above. Great is name I'm fixed upon it. Name of God, redeeming love.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. Ushers, come forward if you will. While they're coming, I would mention many of you on Friday night a week ago at the concert, Becky did, ask about the CDs, and I think we were out of some, and some of you were not prepared to get them at that time. The CDs are available back there again today. Reflections of Glory is the CD that has no orchestra accompaniment. The Christmas CD has orchestra accompaniment. And you know, it's only like 200 shopping days till Christmas, so I don't know. Anyway, that's there. Patchwork of Praise is full orchestra accompaniment. It has Come and Dine on it, along with what else. But Reflections of Glory, that is just piano only. And 1 for 10, 15 for 2, 20 for all three. And I think that we're going to have CDs and DVDs of the concert available. Very soon?
Very soon.
Very soon. Okay. And if you'd like to watch it, or you didn't get to attend, or you'd like to have someone watch it, if you know Mr. Google, if you know him, I said that to someone the other day, and they said, "What is Google?" I said, "If you have to ask that, I can't explain it to you." But if you go to Google and you Google Becky Reynolds in concert, and that'll come up, and the whole concert is available on YouTube. It goes right to YouTube and the concert. So that's there for you. I want you to pray for Kathy Wyman. Her brother is at the point of death and in a very difficult situation over to hospice, and be much in prayer for her, for them, if you will. Tonight, as I said in the bulletin, I want to give a little further word about where I went this week into McDowell County in West Virginia, and some interesting things. I won't take time to do that this morning, but if you're here on this evening, I will take a little time to do that tonight. Also, I have a card here from Erica. Erica Moe, thank you so much for the beautiful service. Hope's beautiful rendition of Beulah Land, the fabulous spread the ladies of the church put on for our family, the sound. The audio visual was so good too. So many hands made a special memory for all of our loved ones in the celebration of Gary's life. Add to it the fact that 15 folks asked Christ into their heart. Wow. Unforgettable. And many thanks for your time and talents and everything like this from Erica Moat and the family from Brother Gary's funeral. And so I know we appreciate that, and we're miss him, but glad for all that the Lord has done. We have a gentleman in our church. We're going to have a new mayor in Orange City come this fall. And in the election, there's some people running for that office now that the mayor is not running again. And so if you would like to see Michael Wright on the ballot, now that doesn't mean you're going to vote for him, although he'd like for you to, I think. But, you know, if you're in Orange City and you would just simply sign, it's called a petition. If you're familiar with the process, you know you have to do something to get on the ballot. And this is what you have to do to get on the ballot. Mike, would you stand? Let people know where you are. And you'll see him around. If he's carrying his flute, he's the guy. Okay? Okay. But if you would just sign that to say, yeah, I think he ought to be allowed to run. He ought to be allowed to run for mayor. And if you'd just sign that, that would help him and get him on the ballot. Let's do that. Let's get him on the ballot. I don't know what else I have to do. There's one other announcement. It's offering time, so let's give. Had a good week this week. Now, I must tell you, this is just very personal, but I was in a country church. That's the only thing kind of church it is where I grew up, is country churches, because it's country. And so I took a day with the pastor, and we went down memory lane for him and for me. Now, he lived in the first schoolhouse I ever went to. It was a one-room school. We had all eight grades in one room, one teacher, all eight grades. And his dad, after they didn't use it as a school anymore, the pastor where I was, his dad bought that old schoolhouse and turned it into a dwelling. And so he lived there. So that was a memory for both of us. And the house I kind of grew up in was the farm next door. By next door, it's not like in your neighborhood, okay? But it was the next house, okay? And so went there and went down to a school that they consolidated into a big school, had four rooms. And big concrete building, I thought was the biggest thing I ever saw in my life. And it's in such a state of disrepair, it's fallen down. It looked like a bombed out building from World War II. But anyway, I walked down memory lane, you know, and the people would do anything to have a cake and coffee and after church, you know, they just do anything. So they're going to celebrate my birthday. Friday night, they're going to celebrate my birthday. So they're having a party after service to celebrate my birthday. And, okay, whatever, you know. Now, I've been down this trip down memory lane, and I've seen all these old places, and I'm really feeling it, okay? I'm really feeling this, oh, dear, you know. I'm really feeling like this. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard this song. But the choir sings, and they sing a couple of songs, and they come down. We fellowship and everything like that. And then the quartet's going to sing, and they're going to sing however many they want to. It, you know, they'll sing one, they'll sing two, they'll sing three, just whatever they want to sing. They'll just sing till they're through. And then I'm going to get up and preach. And they sing two songs, and one fellow says, let's sing another one. And so they're going to sing another one. And so they turn in their books that they have, and they turn there, and they start singing. And I kid you not, they sing this song that says, time has made a change in me. And it talks about when I was young, I was strong, and I was healthy, and all those wonderful things. And now they're singing time, but time has made a change in me. And I'm sitting on the front row, ready to preach, depressed. I'm just depressed now. I walked up to the pulpit. I said, what I want to know is who picked that song? And nobody would admit to it. But I know I didn't pick it. But anyway, it's good to be back at the home place. I wish everywhere I go and preach, I wish they could all come here to church. This is a great place. Man, the music we've had today, choir opening, and choir's getting ready to sing again in a little while. If I don't forget and do something else to cut them out, have these instruments play, have the special we had a while ago. It's just absolutely magnificent. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. What a wonderful place. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, it is good to be together. Good to be in your house with your people. Lord, it's good to sing your songs and hear your word. And it's good to come to this time when we worship you. Father, we take of our time to be here and we take of the blessings you have placed upon us and we give back to you to tell you that we love you and we thank you for loving us. Lord, we certainly cannot buy anything from you. But Lord, we can worship you by giving to you. And I pray we'll do that today. And in this time, may what we do be an act of worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. If you will, leave those pictures up just a bit that you were looking at while the instruments were playing when the roll is called up yonder. Wasn't that good? I love it. Starting May 2016. Do you remember the other day we did the video and we turned around and said, we're praying for your brother, Matt, and so forth like that? This is Matt Prime, and today is his last day at Ripley Baptist Temple with his dad, where he's been serving for the last 6 years. And today's his final day, and they're leaving, and they've been working on this property and getting the building ready to start. I don't know exactly whether to start next Sunday or the Sunday after that. But the video we did the other day, waving at him, praying for him, and everything like that, they're showing that about this time, they're showing that. And so do remember to pray for Matt. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, I think the choir's going to sing this time.
Thank you. he say after that? You say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, something, I don't know. Brother Ray Prost, it's good to see you here today, and he's able to be here fighting a hard battle right now, that old big C. But glad you're here, Ray. God bless your heart. I want to read something to you. Ordinarily, if you've been in a lot of churches and the pastor stands up and comes to a time like this in a church and gets real quiet and says, I want to read you something, he's reading his resignation. But don't get your hopes up. Okay? But it does have something to do with staff. Okay? 10 years ago, it seemed the better part of wisdom to bring on a staff, an experienced servant of the Lord, to be in place if anything should happen to me. And that's just reasonable and good. And the church created a position. To that time, we'd never had the position of associate pastor. But we created the position of associate pastor, and the church allowed me to hire Brother Sears to fill that position. He's done an outstanding job in every situation, everything that we've thrown at him. He's just done an outstanding job with everything that he's had to deal with in every situation and ministry that has come to him. We've had a few assistant pastors. Now, in a structure of our church, we have the pastor, we have associate pastor, and assistant pastor. And there may be multiple assistant pastors, and that's the way the church has functioned for some time now. The problem with that is that there's very little room for promotion or advancement in that because I'm just too healthy. But nevertheless, and Brother Aaron has filled that position as assistant pastor, and we have not given, like minister of youth and minister of music and so forth like that, we have not had those titles. We've given pastoral titles because whenever someone comes to minister, they may minister in a particular area as specific responsibilities, but they serve in general as a pastor too with pastoral responsibilities to visit and soul win and lead ministries and so forth like that. And so there's almost no opportunities for promotion, and the finance committee and personnel, finance committee serves as personnel committee, and I have come up with, we've come up with something I think is creative. It's not new, it's not different, but I think it'll be a blessing to the church and also to the staff members. 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from today, on the 15th, we're going to recommend to you that we again create another position in the staff. It doesn't have to be filled, but it could be filled. And that would be the position of co-pastor. Co-pastor. And, of course, it would be my desire to fill that position by giving Brother Mark a promotion to that position as co-pastor. And I think that's well-deserved, and we would move Aaron up to the position of associate pastor, and then that would leave us then a position also which needs to be done to fill in the gap that has been left for some time now by Brother Barry's departure. And so we'll be looking for someone. We do not have that settled. We've obviously looked already, but we have not settled on that in any way, nor have we contacted anyone regarding that. But that would mean that there will be no immediate changes in responsibilities. It would just simply be an opportunity to give them a promotion and also to give them a little increase in salary and so forth like that based upon that promotion. You know how that works. You can feel free. You can feel free to call me with questions or comments or anything like that. We have sought the mind of God about this over a number of months now and sought what the Lord would have us do in that regard and prayed much about that. and feel we have the mind of God about that, but I'd be glad to answer any question that I can answer. If I can answer the question, I'd be glad to. And 2 weeks from today, we will bring that as a recommendation. And I did not want to do that spur of the moment. I want to give you some time to think through that and think over that. And so it doesn't take you by surprise. But we'll present that as a recommendation to you and vote on that 2 weeks from today. So that's good. Had a good call from Randy Parker this week. We're not going to hire Randy, okay? We can't afford him. But had a good call from Randy Parker. This week, they went to the bank and paid off their mortgage.
Amen.
Isn't that a good thing? And I'm happy for him. I called him yesterday and I said, man, you're going to have a good day tomorrow, aren't you? He said, yeah, I am. We're going to have a good day tomorrow. And that's good. That's good. And the Lord's blessing. The Lord's blessing. The church I was with this week, a young man, 28 years old, 28 years old. The presence of God is with this young man. God is blessing him in a very hard situation. You people, for the most part, now some of you from hill country, but a lot of y'all are flatlanders. I'm going to tell you, whenever you turn off the highway up to this church, you're going up a little hill, and then you turn like that. And whenever you come out, they have markers, reflector markers, along the side of the driveway, because you can't see the road. You have to drive according to those markers because you can't see what's in front of you. You just turn by faith and start down the hill. But I'm so happy. And here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Let's stand together if you will. I want you to sing it out. It's in the bulletin. If you need the words, they're in the bulletin. I'm so happy. Here's the reason why. This morning, there's somebody in this building, in this building today, there's somebody you do not know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Find somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself and get to know them, okay? All right. Get out of that little two pew area you're around there. Meet someone. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want you to get settled down a little bit before this young man sings today. Most of you know Andrew Orser. Made famous by singing in Voices of Victory. Andrew, come sing for us.
Just like you, I was lost. My soul was in darkness, had no hope at all. I was just like a ship out on a stormy sea. But then I heard God give His gift of salvation, and praise the Lord, I entered into the haven of rest. If you haven't done that today, make that decision before you leave. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I anchored my soul
people playing the piano for him, accompanying him. So that's representative of our youth department right there. That's wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate that. Aaron leaned over and told me, he said, he's about to start preaching. You better get up there quick. Oh, my. Open your Bible, if you will. It's an easy passage to find, unless you have a New Testament only. The book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I didn't see our present mayor until right now. I look back here and see Mayor Laputka, and he's not running, so we don't have two guys in our church running against each other for the mayor's office, okay? I think mayor's running for chairman of the county commission. Okay. All right. Chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. If you will, look at that with me. Strange, strange text that I read today. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now you know what has taken place. Adam and Eve have been in the Garden of Eden. Absolutely wonderful. Nothing like it. Nothing to compare. But they've sinned. They've sinned. And now God says, lest you put forth your hand and take of the tree of life and live forever in a sinful condition. What a terrible thing. You know, you wonder how terrible can things get in this world with the violence, with the killing, with the abuse, with what's happening to children, what's happening with young people, the things that are taking place. Technology is such a wonderful thing. But just this week in Athens, Georgia, five young ladies in the University of Georgia, out together, driving, laughing, having a wonderful time. The driver's texting, drifts across the road, hits another car head on, kills all five of them. How terrible can things get? Happens all around us here all the time. The immorality. To live forever with it getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So God said, I'm going to put a barrier up. You're not going to get back to that tree. And there came a separation between man and God. It's like whenever they sinned, a wall went up. A wall went up between man and God. Now, there are many famous walls in this world. The Berlin Wall, of course, you know, some of us remember whenever that came down, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down, Ronald Reagan said. And they did. They broke it down. They broke it down, sold chunks of it. They became very capitalistic right off whenever they took the wall down. Wall around Jerusalem. You have pictures of the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. And whenever you go visit an ancient city, you always talk about the walls. And even today, there's a modern wall between Israel and many sections between Israel and the Palestinian territory. And now Mr. Trump's wanting to talk about a wall, building walls and so forth like that. Then you have the Great Wall of China. The Great Wall of China, 1,500 miles long. 1 million men died constructing that wall. It's the only earthly made structure visible from outer space. Only man-made structure on earth visible from outer space. It was built to protect China and that border, that 1,500 mile border from Mongolia. But the greatest wall that there has ever been or ever will be is the barrier. And that's what a wall is. A wall is a barrier, whether it's built up or whatever, any barrier, the barrier that separates from man from God. It's bigger than the wall of China. It's longer than the wall of China. It's higher than the walls of Jerusalem. In fact, it's so high, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get under it. It's so wide, you can't get around it. You must come in at the door. Now, the wall, as I said before, here in Genesis chapter 3, we see that wall was built by sin. Before sin came into this world, man fellowshiped with God face to face. Our forefather Adam had direct conversation with God. Open conversation. Now that happened occasionally afterward. Not that they saw God with physical eyes, and yet that happened in some rare occasions, to some extent. But there's a barrier there that man could not approach God. Man could not come to God. Sin built that wall. Before sin, man shared a similar life source with God. It's the same thing that will happen in our glorified bodies. But there was a similar life source with God. But sin built the wall and separated that. And there was no longer a similar life source because now death has come into the world. Sin came into the world and death came by sin. Oh, I think so many times people say someone died and they say, why did God do that? God didn't do that. God has to do with life. Sin has to do with death. There would be no death in this world were it not for sin. There would be no suffering in this world were it not for sin. There would be no misunderstandings in this world were it not for sin. Did you ever do something and you had no malicious intent whatsoever and someone took that thing wrong and they were offended by that and you just, oh my, I don't know how to handle that. No more of that. Sin's the reason for all that. Man alive, I've said so many times, you know, time has made a change in me. And the reason time has made a change in me is because I live in time now. I live in time. And I live in time with sin. And like a lot of you, I've joined the 5B Club. You know the 5B Club, don't you? Bald, bifocals, bridges, bulges, and bunions. That's all a result of sin. That's sin. Sin's the reason for that. There's a separation between man and God. And it's so high, the old song says, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. You must come in at the door. Sin still bars people from God. Now, God put cherubims, some kind of angels that were there, with flaming swords that prevented man, any person, from getting back to the tree of life. Now, there's every reason to believe that that situation existed until the flood. There's no reason to believe that that stopped anywhere in there. But that protection, the Garden of Eden as it was still there with the tree of life in it. And God said, you can't come in here. Of course, the flood changed all that. People who talk about the flood, talk about this, they don't understand the consistency of the Word of God. And they don't understand how it all fits together and how everything just follows along in sequence in an orderly fashion. But the flood changed all that. But the barrier is there, and it's still there. And even after the flood, man is separated from God. And in the temple worship, in the tabernacle, when they came out of Egypt, and God gave the ordinance for the tabernacle, and He gave the instructions for all that, He said in Exodus chapter 26, verse 33, He said, hang a curtain, a thick curtain, between the holy place and the place where God dwells. And here is the place for the worship of God in the area called the tabernacle. And the people come to go in the outer court. And they can go in the outer court, but they bring a sacrifice. They bring an offering to God. It's either a sin offering or a thank offering or a praise offering or whatever. But whenever they come into the tabernacle, they bring an offering. They always do that. They bring an offering, a sacrifice, something that they give to God. But then they go into that tent, into the enclosed area called the holy place. Only a priest can go in there. Only a priest. Now, they go in on a daily basis, back and forth, in and out, and they minister in the holy place. And there's light in there from the candlestick, what we call today, and we know in Jewish terminology, the menorah. The menorah is in there. But there's the altar of incense. There's the altar of incense, which represents the prayers of the people, is in that place, in that holy place. And there's also the bread, representing the bread of life. There's the light of the world, and the bread of life is there. And the prayers and the altar of incense are there. The place of worship is all there. But only the priests can go in, because there is a separation. And then beyond that, there is the thick curtain, a wall, if you will. And beyond that can only go the high priest, only one person. And he can only go in once a year. And you get the idea that though God is there and God is with man and God meets with mankind here on this earth, there's still a barrier there. Now, I don't know if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may have had the experience to where you try to come to God, and it seems like you're trying to get to God, and you need God, and you sense a need for God. But it's like, until recently, we never thought about this. I never thought about this. Maybe other people did. I never had a mind like this, but I remember whenever I saw Star Trek. Was that the name of it on TV? Star Trek? The guy with the pointed ears? All that kind of thing? Yeah. And Captain Kirk. I remember now, Captain Kirk. And they'd try to go to a place, and they'd walk up to this place, and boom! There was a force field that would throw them back. And they'd go up, and they'd kind of touch it. They touch it. And they begin looking. You know what they were looking for? They were looking for what they called, I think the terminology they used is good terminology, whether they used this or not. I think this is the thing they used, though. They were looking for a portal. In other words, they were looking for a spot where the force field was not there and you could go through. Here's a wall. You can't see it. It's not a wall like that wall there. But it does the same thing a wall does. Now, this is what a wall does. A wall separates one area from another area. And you can't move from here to here, especially if it's so high you can't get over it, so wide you can't get around it. So low you can't get under it. The only way to get through is a door. And a force field, it's like there's a force field. And it is literally a spiritual barrier. There's a spiritual barrier that separates man from God. Now, there's a lot of things that look very attractive, and it looks like you can get to God by doing this. Here is a beautiful area in the wall called religion. Oh, religion. It looks like if anything would get you to God, if you could get through the wall anywhere to get to God, it looks like whenever you walked up to religion, that the portal would be there and you could just walk right through to God. But you will find, though you may walk through that portal, You don't get to God. You get into a religious structure. You get into a hierarchy. You get into a power area of people who want to have religious power. Oh, you thought it was getting you to God, but the only thing it got you in was a religion. Didn't get you to God at all. Fact is, what happened as far as getting you to God, the wall is still there. You didn't even get through the wall. You didn't get through the wall. And whenever you walk up there, boom, it'll just throw you back. Because religion is not the portal. Some people think living a good life. Now, that's an admirable thing. But as far as getting through the barrier to God, you try to come up to that barrier with your good life, it'll throw you back. And it seems like the least likely place you could get through the barrier is the place you have to go. The least likely place. Here is a man living on earth. He's not well known really outside his own country. He's not a particular handsome being or, from an earthly standpoint, a well-educated person. He doesn't seem to have a whole lot of power. He just has a few people following him. He does not seem the kind of person that is a great leader. He does not seem to be someone that people would be attractive to. And yet, there's something about him. He heals the sick. He opens the eyes of the blind. He calls the lame to walk and he cleanses the leper. Fact is, he even raised a man from the dead that had been dead 4 days. It's an amazing thing. And all of that is quite impressive. But then, right whenever you think this may be the person, people take him and they put him on a cross. And kill him. And it seems like human government has overcome him by killing him. Human religion has overcome him by delivering him to be crucified. It seems as if everything that people thought would not happen to him and should not happen to him has happened to him. And yet, what happened to him was this. Here's the wall. Here's the wall. High, low, wide. Can't get through it. You got to come in at the door, but there's no door. There's no door. How do you get through a wall that doesn't have a door? Here's what Jesus did. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This is what it says. He became sin for us. Do you see, the wall is sin. And whenever Jesus Christ became sin for us, he became part of the wall. And when he became part of the wall, he became the door. And whenever I come to Jesus, oh, there's a beautiful facade over here that says religion. But it don't get you through the wall. There's a beautiful, beautiful, ornate facade over here that says church membership. But it won't get you through the door. It's just a facade. Oh, here's an interesting facade that says baptism. But every one of those you go up to is just, boom. You just walk slap into the walls because you can't get through. It's just a facade. But whenever you come to Jesus, whenever you come to Him, you just come to Him. And whenever you come to Him, it's not magical. It's just miraculous. Because whenever you come to Him, it's like the portal in the force field. And whenever you come to Jesus, you just come to Him and boom, all of a sudden you're in the other side. You were in this area, but now you're in the other area. You were in this area and there's no way through until you came to Jesus. You tried everything else. You tried everything you knew to do. You gave money to the Red Cross. You gave money to the Cancer Foundation. You gave money to this and you gave money to that. And you tried to do all this and everything. You joined all kinds of good organizations and everything like this. But it didn't get you through the wall. And then you came to Jesus and just like that, you're on God's side of the wall. And there's no barrier between you and God. He made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Whenever Jesus said, I am the door. Oh, dearly beloved, He is the door. He is not a door. He is the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what religion says. Religion says you do this, and 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 you do this. And you get all seven of them going, you might get through the walls. You might get to God. And another religion says, well, you do this, and you do this, and you pray five times a day toward Mecca, and you kill some infidels and all this kind of stuff. Won't get you through the wall. But the instant you come to Jesus, He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In other words, it's boom, boom. Just like that. Now that took me, what, second? I don't know. But I know it's quicker than that with God. It's just immediate. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and God takes care of it. I'm through the barrier. I'm on God's side of it. I'm out of this area into this area. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Some people stand and look at Him. And they want to evaluate Him. They want to say, well, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem reasonable to me. You know, it seems like there ought to be more to it than that. Well, you can look at it all you want to. You can evaluate it. You can put it in your test tube and analyze it. You can run it through your mind and all kinds of philosophical ideas that you want to. You say, well, I've looked at it, and it just doesn't seem that that's what it is to me. Okay, that's fine. Because you're never going to experience it until you come to Him. And whenever you come to Him, He does for you that you cannot do for yourself. And whenever you come to Him, here's what He does.
He forgives your sins. Just like that. He forgives your sins. He births you. He gives you birth into His family. He gives you spiritual life. He makes you His own. You're on His side of the barrier. Now you can either stay where you are, but I promise you, everybody on that side of the wall is going to go to hell. You say, preacher, you believe that? Doesn't make any difference whether I believe it or not. I do believe it, but that doesn't make any difference at all. It's what the Bible says. I simply believe it because that's what the Bible says. But if you're on God's side of the wall, you're going to be with God. Now, which do you want? Which do you want? You say, well, I just believe there may be another way. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. Heaven's God's place. He made it. He determines how you get there. He said, Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father. Whenever he's talking about the Father, he's talking about God the Father. No man cometh to the Father. No man. No person. Jew. Gentile. American. Englishman. South American. Canadian. European, Indian, African, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now the other side of that is this. Everybody that comes to me comes to the Father. If you were to die right now, which side of the barrier are you on? If you were to die right now, which side of the barrier are you on? Do you know that you go to heaven because you're on God's side of the wall? Or are you on the other side of the wall where God says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you this morning, how many of you say, preacher, I know, based on the truth of the Word of God, I know that Jesus is my Savior. I have come to Him, and He has moved me to the other side of the wall. Would you raise your hand? Our heads, hands are down. I wonder how many here this morning said, preacher, I cannot say that. But what I want to say is right now is I will right now trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I come to Him right now. I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? Right now I will. I will come. God bless you. I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just right up, right back down. I receive Him as my Savior. Just slip your hand up right back now. Now tell Him this. Say, dear God, I do want Jesus as my Savior. And today, right now, I come to Him for salvation. I trust Jesus. Forgive my sins. To give me everlasting life and a home in heaven when I die. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The fact is, we'll just have the instruments play it right now. We may sing a little bit of it in a minute. But if you did that today, I want you to just slip from your place, walk down here to the front and say to me, preacher, I did that today. I did that. I'll know what you're talking about. I'll know exactly what you're talking about. I did that today. I want you to just shake my hand and say, "Preacher, I did that today." If you're here and God's spoken to your heart about coming and being part of this church, we invite you to come. Join with us. You're saved, baptized. You want to join this church, you come. If you're not saved, we can help you with that. If you're not baptized, we can take care of that. We just want to be a blessing. We want to help you follow God now that you're on His side of the wall. Okay? Help you follow God now that you're on His side of the wall. If you're here and you need to receive believer's baptism, I invite you to come. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're able to stand with us, stand with us. The instruments play. If you need to come, I want you to come. Will you come right now? Will you come right now? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the instruments to stop for just a moment. I don't know. I don't generally do this. But I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm going to ask you something. How many of you say, "Pastor, on my heart today there's someone that I'm praying for that needs to know Jesus as their Savior"? Would you just raise your hand? Father, I pray with these, with those of us who have our hands raised and who raised our hands as praying for someone that needs to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, you'll give us wisdom and boldness. And I pray, Father, because of this, others will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Howard's here this morning. She's gone back and she's getting ready to receive believer's baptism. I don't know how old she is. This is her son-in-law. You know how old she is? I won't tell her you told me. She's a 38 model? Okay. I know how old that is. I know how old that is. All right, and so she's approaching 80, and don't tell her I said that, because she's still not 80 yet, though she's a 38 model. But I hope you stay and watch her receive believer's baptism. We have announcements? Anything at all? Okay, ladies, have some music for us. It won't take me long. I'll be there and be ready. And visitors, if you're here today, even if you turn that little slip in the offering plate, we'd still like to have you come by. I'd like to meet you. I'll say goodbye to the folks on live stream in just a moment. I'll say goodbye to you. But we will have a little get together back there for you if you'd like to come by. Whether you turned in the little slip out of the bulletin or not that you filled out, we'd like to have you come by. I'd like to meet you, say hi to you, other staff members meet you. And I hope you'll be back tonight. We'll talk a little bit about McDowell County. They don't say McDowell, they say McDowell. And I had to learn how to speak the language whenever I was up there. And I always said Gilboa, but up there they say Gilboa. And so you have to learn how to talk. And I try to do that. But some amazing things going on. I'd love to fill you in on that. Okay? Well, all I'm going to tell you, this is about as perfect as it gets right now. I mean, they got it just exactly right for you, okay? Yeah, just be careful. Take your time. Okay. And then just turn right around and have a seat right there. Okay. All right. Is it okay?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it off.
God bless your heart. Oh, I'm so glad you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And I'm glad God has led you here. We're glad to have you in the community and here in the church. And we just trust God will bless you and use you in a very special way.
I do too.
I know you do. Ola. Upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and in obedience to God and God's command, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Put both hands over your nose and mouth, if you will. Buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. All right. Let's stand together, if you will. I want you to shake hands with those around you, greet one another, and be friendly. And you're dismissed. Be back tonight.
Thank you so much. It's good to have you with us today, and I trust you enjoyed the home place today. I don't know about you, but I love that choir song. If you join us early enough to hear God of Our Praise, they did a fantastic job this morning. And, of course, Sir Jay and Andrew did a wonderful job with the Haven of Rest. I love that song. What a blessing. I hope you'll join us again tonight. It's been good to have you today. We're always glad to come to you by way of live stream. And I hope that if the service has been an encouragement to you, and if you know someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've never come to Him and had God move them onto His side of the wall, I trust you'll tell them about Him this week. And they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. God bless you. I hope you'll join us tonight, Thursday night, whatever you can. But if not, be with us again next Sunday. God bless you.